Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's going on, everybody? It is Bryce here with the Gov Talk podcast. A little different tonight. It'll be just me. Chris is not here. He's got some Clarksville Academy football stuff going on tonight, so one-man show, no worries, no biggie. So everybody knows, you know, the Govs are coming off the big homecoming win, dominant win over the rival North Alabama. Great win, a lot of momentum. Got to keep it going, though. And you have a tough game coming up this weekend at Southern Utah. Southern Utah Thunderbirds coming into the matchup. You have the Govs are 5-3 overall and 3-2 in the UAC. Southern Utah is 3-5 overall and 2-2 in UAC play. In the polls, the Govs are still at number 22 in the stats perform and 24 in the AFCA. So didn't really, not a whole lot of movement even after the dominant win. You know, kind of tells you, I guess North Alabama isn't really thought of very highly because you destroy them and you don't really move in the rankings, but you know, it is what it is. Southern Utah's not ranked in either poll, but don't let that fool you. This is not going to be like a super easy game. Southern Utah has been really close in almost all their games. And me and Chris have talked about that at length. They could easily have a better record than what they have. So not taking it lightly inside this series. So this will be the third all-time meeting between the two schools. And it's tied 1-1. Obviously last year they came here and the Thunderbirds came out on top. It was 28-17, and that was a very frustrating game. I mean, like a lot of home games last year, we had the lead, you know, and could have put it away, but, you know, didn't for whatever reason. So that was frustrating. And then the time before that, Austin Peay beat Southern Utah 48-45 in double overtime, and that was the only other time that Austin Peay has been to Cedar City, Utah. So 1-1 overall, and looking to get our second win in Cedar City. Overall, Austin Peay is 2-0 all time in games that take place in Utah, which obviously the Southern Utah game a couple years ago and Utah Tech last year. What a Govs win would mean. With a win, Austin Peay would improve to 4-2 in the UAC and would secure a 500 or better conference record for the season, which is pretty incredible when you look at what happened last year. So also with the win, Austin Peay would surpass the 2024 conference win total, and it would be the 12th time in program history that the Govs have won four conference games in a season, and the sixth time since 2017. And it will be the team's first win on the road in conference play this season, which would end a three-game losing streak on the road. So a lot at stake here, you know. Also, this isn't in the notes, but it's true. You lose this game, you can kiss the playoffs goodbye unless something crazy happens. It's that important. You know, we're getting at the end of the season. There's not many chances left to, you know, kind of impress. So you got to win the games you're supposed to win, like this one. Govs by the numbers. Number six, so this is a stat we've been talking about quite a bit. Chris Parson has now rushed for a touchdown in six straight games. He's the first governor to run for a touchdown in six straight games since Chris Fletcher did so in nine straight games from 2006 to 2007. So, you know, first to do it in two decades, really, to do that. It's pretty incredible. And me and Chris were talking about it last week. If he's in the red zone, if the Govs are in the red zone, it's almost a guarantee at this point that Chris is going to score. He's just going to find a way to get the ball in the end zone. It's a big part of why the Govs have the number one red zone offense in the country. And then moving on here, the We Will player of the game, wearing number zero for Will Hardrick, will be Montrezl Smith Jr., who had a career game last weekend with double-digit tackles and two interceptions. So, once again, you have a great game. You get to be the We Will player of the game. So, moving on. So, let's talk about the stats comparison here. So, like I said, 5-3 to 3-5, 3-2 to 2-2. Total offense. So, this is a stat where, like, earlier in several of the games, lately at least, Austin Peay has been blowing the opponent out of the water in total offense. It's not really the case here. Southern Utah puts up a hell of a lot of yards, too. So, Austin Peay is averaging 461 yards per game, but Southern Utah is averaging 421. So, that's a potent offense as well. That's not like North Alabama or Eastern Kentucky, you know, a defense-first team that kind of struggles to move the ball. That's not the case here. This is a team that we'll get to in a minute. This is a team that can run it down your throat. So, they have the advantage here. So, Austin Peay averages 195.5 rushing yards a game. Southern Utah averages 201 rushing yards a game. So that's pretty impressive, averaging 200 yards on the ground. That'll be probably the most important matchup, is their run offense versus our run defense. Passing offense, we have the edge there. The Govs actually lead the league still, 265.5 passing yards per game. Southern Utah has 220 a game, which is still nothing to sneeze at. Scoring offense, pretty similar. Austin Peay's averaging 36.1 points per game. Southern Utah's averaging 35.1 points per game. So, like I said, put up a lot of yards, put up a lot of points. Total defense, Austin Peay has a pretty sizable edge here. Austin Peay's allowing 326 yards per game. Southern Utah's allowing a whopping 434 yards per game. So you got to think Austin Peay has a pretty good edge there. Then moving on to the rushing defense in particular, which, you know, like I said, this could be the key matchup. You have Southern Utah who runs the ball at will versus Austin Peay, who has been fantastic at stopping the run this year. It's another category that Austin Peay leads the league in currently. 110 yards per game allowed on the ground. Meanwhile, Southern Utah allows 206 yards per game on the ground. So the point of that is you can throw on this team and you can run on this team. They give up a lot of yards. The question will be, can Austin Peay do enough on their defense? Because I feel pretty good about our rush defense. Our rush defense is really impressed this year. This will be probably their toughest test, but you still got to feel good about that. Like passing yards allowed, it's pretty similar. Austin Peay is averaging 215 per game. Southern Utah is allowing 227. So another thing, Austin Peay still leads the league in red zone offense, converting 93% of the time. Southern Utah's isn't anything to laugh at either. I mean, they're 88% of the time. Penalties per game. So this is a thing me and Chris have kind of hammered down. And we said we're going to stop talking about it. But, you know, Austin Peay averages almost 9 penalties per game, which is not good. I mean, it isn't. You've heard us say it before. It's nothing new. Southern Utah averages 5 penalties a game, which is a lot more, you know, reasonable. Penalty yards per game, Austin Peay gives the other team 73 yards per game. Not good. And another category where Austin Peay actually leads the league is time of possession, 32 minutes and 9 seconds per game, which is pretty crazy if you think about it, because that factors in all the deep balls that Chris throws. That, you know, there's several drives where Chris, you know, the drive is over after like 2 minutes because Chris hits a bomb down the field. So to still lead the league in time of possession is pretty impressive. Team sacks. So neither of these teams are really elite at getting sacks. Both are averaging 2.1 a game. Austin Peay gets about a tackle for loss more per game. And Austin Peay's offensive line has been a little bit better, averaging less than two sacks per game allowed. Southern Utah allows a little bit over 2 sacks per game. So, you know, looking at the records, you would probably think that the stats would be a little bit more one-sided in Austin Peay's favor, and they're really not. I mean, Southern Utah, there's a lot of stuff that's it's pretty comparable, honestly. So, talking about the last meeting, that was September 28th, 2024. Me and Chris were at this game, of course. It was 7-7 at the half. Austin Peay took a 17-14 lead at the end of the third quarter. And then Southern Utah scored 14 unanswered in the fourth. And the craziest thing about that is Southern Utah in that game, they put up 28 points, but Austin Peay held them to 151 yards. It was the lowest single game total yardage against an FCS team last season. So it was like literally Austin Peay's best defensive performance of the year, and they lost. It was just a weird game. Very weird game. So versus the Beehive State, which is Utah, obviously, if you didn't know that, Austin Peay is 4-1 all time. Obviously, you have a win against Southern Utah and then three wins against Utah Tech and then a loss to Southern Utah last year. So 4-1 all time against Utah teams. Pretty interesting. This will also be the third farthest west that Austin Peay has ever played a game. So further west would obviously be Sacramento State and Utah Tech. So that's pretty interesting too. It's also a very high elevation game. You know, everybody thinks about Colorado being the, you know, Denver, the Mile High City. I didn't realize that Cedar City, Utah is very high up as well. And this is almost 6,000 feet up. So that's definitely something that takes a while to get used to. If you've ever been out there, you know, it's not exactly, if you're not used to it, it can catch you by surprise. All right, moving on. Like I said a couple weeks ago, it's actually kind of incredible how healthy the Govs have been this season, and that continues to be the thing. There's not any really notable injuries. And, you know, this late in the season, almost every team is dealing with some kind of injury at least, you know. So that's always good. No major changes on the depth chart. So Montrez Smith Jr., we talked about his incredible game he had last week. He is actually on the Jerry Rice Award watch list, which would be pretty incredible. The Jerry Rice Award, I'm sure everybody knows who Jerry Rice is. The Jerry Rice Award is presented annually to the most impressive freshman player in the FCS. And it's obviously named after Jerry Rice because he was incredible and he played in FCS, Mississippi Valley State. And it would be the first Austin Peay player to win the award, which would be pretty incredible. Some notable names that have won it in the past, Trey Lance, Cam Ward, Tighten Up, Shador Sanders, Chase Edmonds, Cooper Kupp. So pretty good company to be in for Montrez. Moving on here. Did you guys see the uniforms? Wearing a combination we don't really wear too much. So white lids, white jerseys, red pants. Matter of fact, it's only been worn once in the Jeff Ferris era, and that was last month at Georgia, which was obviously a loss. So 0-1 in the Ferris era wearing white, red. I'm looking to make it 1-1 because it's a nice combination. I like it. It's very nice. What did you guys think about the throwback helmets from last week? Because I loved them. I thought the throwback helmet was very nice. I love to see the old, you know, like that's the logo I grew up looking at and seeing is like the Gov walking. It's cool. Anyway, the line stayed the same. So, you know, the first couple of weeks, the line was from left to right was Sales, Bowden, Curtin, Hilliard, Baugh. And then for the several weeks since then, it's been Sutton, Baugh, Curtin, Hilliard, Sales. So Curtin and Hilliard have been in the same spot all year. There's been some rotation throughout the rest of the line, and it seems like it's finally settled at the lineup that we're at now. which has been pretty good. Not really anything to complain about. Like I said, allowing less than two sacks a game, so you can't really complain too much there. All right, moving on here. So a couple notable performances from last week. It'll be interesting to see if they can repeat this weekend in Utah. So I can't remember if we mentioned it on the recap or not, but Javius Bond had the best rushing performance of any Gov this season last week. He had 96 yards and two touchdowns. The previous game-high rushing total this season was also from Bond against Morehead State. He had 84 yards. So that kind of surprised me. I don't know if it surprised y'all. With how good the Govs have been rushing, it hasn't really been a one-person effort. It's been like three or four guys kind of making the total go up higher. Hasn't been like a workhorse situation where one guy gets 200 yards, you know. So, and then the other guy is Shamar Kirk, who had an incredible game last week. This is crazy. So he was targeted only three times. So three targets, right? Not a lot. He turned that into three catches for 132 yards and three touchdowns. So every time he was targeted, it resulted in a touchdown. Incredible. 132 yards is tied for the second best receiving performance of the season. The first is Jaden Robinson at EKU. He had 145 yards. And Jackson Head also had 132 yards back against ACU. So we talk about that a lot too. The wide receiver room is just ridiculous. You've had a Jaden Robinson game. You've had a Shamar Kirk game. You've had a Jackson Head game. You've actually had a couple Jaden Robinson games. You've had a Kamari Maxwell game. You had a Garnett game. I mean, Garnett had a great game in the first game of the season against Morehead. He had a big catch. You've got several receivers on this team that can catch the ball. And that's going to be important. I mean, it seems like somebody makes plays every week. So that trend needs to continue. You know what? I'm going to call my shot. Kamari Maxwell is going to have a big game. Kamari Maxwell is going to have a big game against Southern Utah. Moving on. Let's look at Southern Utah. What have they done this year? We went over their stats, but what have they done? So let's look at their scores. You have week one. They had a home game against Idaho State. Idaho State's usually a pretty decent team. Southern Utah ended up winning that game 46-24. 20-point win over Idaho State. That looks pretty impressive. Well, Idaho State's having a down year, folks. Idaho State is 2-6. Their only wins are against the D2 school and Northern Colorado. So not your typical, not your daddy's Idaho State. The next game on their schedule, this was a rough stretch. You know, you can't really blame them too much for this. Their next stretch was at San Diego, Northern Arizona, at UC Davis, West Georgia, at Tarleton. That's a brutal stretch. I mean, that's not an easy schedule that these guys have had to play. So they lost those five games. They lost to San Diego in overtime, 30-27. And San Diego is actually a little bit better than people thought they were going to be. They're 4-4. Which San Diego plays in the Pioneer League. I don't know how that makes any sense, but they do. Northern Arizona was their next game. They lost 52-49. So that's two losses that are by 3 points. I mean, you can't really – that's nothing to – you know, that's impressive that they kept it close. At UC Davis, again, UC Davis is a perennial playoff team. They lost 50-34. Okay, you can forgive that. I mean, that's not a bad loss either. This one looks worse now, but it's still not bad. Versus West Georgia, they lost 27-24. Now, obviously, you hear that, and, you know, Austin Peay handled West Georgia pretty easily. And, you know, West Georgia started 5-0, but they've lost several since then. They've kind of fallen back towards the middle of the pack. But still, it's a three-point loss. I mean, three-point conference loss, I'm not going to blame them for that. This is probably their most impressive game. In fact, this is their most impressive game. They lost to fall to 1-5 at Tarleton State. But you know what? Everybody loses to Tarleton State. And you know what the final score was? 52-42. They went to Tarleton and only lost by 10. The only team that has kept it that close against Tarleton is Army, who almost made the playoff last year in the FBS. So Southern Utah gave Tarleton their toughest test in the FCS so far. That's impressive. Then October 18th, they return back to Cedar City and they take down Abilene Christian 31-24. Yes, Abilene Christian beat the Govs. Still upset about it. That's an impressive win. I know Abilene is not as good as they normally are. You know, they winning the conference last year. They're 500 this year, but they've had a hard schedule. That's an impressive game. It's a very good win. So that got them up to 2-5. And then last week, they played their in-state rivals, Utah Tech. We know Utah Tech is not very good. They beat them 28-7. So that's where you stand. They have a win against Idaho State, and they have a win against Abilene and a win against Utah Tech. So they could easily have a couple more wins on their schedule. They really, really could. And, I mean, hanging with Tarleton, I'm not going to lie, that is worrisome. I mean, Tarleton is very good. I don't think I have to say that. Tarleton is the number two team in the country, and they usually beat people by, like, 30 points. So going to Tarleton and hanging tough with them, that got my attention. That's impressive. I want to talk about, you know, their players to watch. Quarterback, Bronson Barron. He has thrown for 1,524 yards, completed 62.3% of his passes, and has 11 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. It's pretty respectable. Might be the best quarterback we've played so far, other than Abilene Christian. Stone Earl's pretty good. Might be the best quarterback in a conference, other than Stone Earl and Gabalis and Tarleton. And Chris Parson, obviously. Very good quarterback. He's not mobile, though. He is a pocket passer. He has negative rushing yards on the season. He does not make plays with his legs. So that is one thing. If our guys can stick in their coverage, not let the guys get past them in the secondary, should be in pretty good shape. Need to have a pass rush going, too, because we need to make him uncomfortable back there. He ain't going to escape too many sacks. So there's that. Running back Joshua Dye, he's a beast. He's an absolute beast. I hate to admit it. He's a beast. He has rushed for 166 times for 1,166 yards and 18 touchdowns. 18 touchdowns. So that is actually leading the FCS in total touchdowns. Joshua Dye leads the FCS in rushing touchdowns, total points scored, and scoring. He scores by himself. He scores 13.5 points per game. There are some teams that don't even score 13.5 points per game combined. So it's pretty impressive. He's also third in rushing yards in the entire country and fourth in all-purpose yards. So the dude's a real playmaker. This is – seriously, that's going to have to be the main focus. On offense, other than Joshua Dye, they don't have anybody that's going to terrify you. Obviously, when you have a running back like him who is he's elite, you know, the defense is focused. They sell out on stopping the run, and it's easier for Barron to hit his receivers. Gabe Nunez is their top target. He has over 500 yards this season. Other than that, I mean, he's their main guy. So you stop the run. I'm assuming Ellis will be on Gabe Nunez. Keep him locked up. Make them run the ball. I'm assuming the Govs are going to have a lot of loaded boxes, a lot of eight-man boxes, because that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to establish the run game early. They're going to try to hold on to the ball. And they're going to try to bleed the clock, have long scoring drives. Because I don't think, just being honest, and I think they probably know this too, I wouldn't feel comfortable if I was them that they're going to stop our offense. Chris Parson, as we all know, has been incredible this season. Last week was his third game of the season with over 300 yards. And he had his best game of the season in conference play against West Georgia, which was thought of to be a pretty good defense at the time. So I don't think this team that's allowing over 400 yards per game, I have a hard time thinking they're going to stop us. So they're going to try to just not give us the ball. when you look at turnovers, you know, that's another thing me and Chris have griped about, the penalties, and then you have the turnovers. Seems like every game we have like a really silly turnover or two. Austin Peay actually has forced more turnovers than Southern Utah. So that's good. Austin Peay has a positive turnover margin. Southern Utah has a negative turnover margin. So one turnover could easily be the difference in this game if it goes how I think it's going to go. And you know what else could be a difference in this game? Stupid penalties. That's a thing that we said we weren't going to complain about it. We said we weren't going to do it. Chris isn't here to stop me, though. This is the type of game where you could lose because of something stupid. You can't have – if you get a stop on third down and you have a late flag for like a late hit to the quarterback or something, yeah, that's going to kill you in this type of game. So, bottom line, don't let the record fool you. Don't think – anytime you have to play on the road in conference, it's going to be hard. Look at EKU. Nobody expected us to lose to EKU, and guess what? We did. So, and that's only 3 hours away, if that. So you're going across the country, almost as far away as you've ever played. Probably the farthest away a lot of these guys have ever played. That's, and you're really high up. I mean, that's not the easiest place to play. It's not the easiest situation. And, you know, obviously they don't have any postseason aspirations this year, but they know that we do. And they know that they could definitely throw a wrench in our plans. So this is a game that you got to be focused. You got to be ready to play. You win this game, you get to come back home for two more games, which is very sad, actually, because I can't believe the season's already almost over. You only have two more home games. But you win the game here, and I don't want to say the pressure's off, but you got to feel pretty good because then you come home for a game against Central Arkansas, who was terrible, and then you have a game against Samford, who was also terrible, and it's not a conference game. And then, you know, you get to end the season, hopefully, with several wins in a row. You get to end the season going to Tarleton, and, you know, you can earn a lot of respect in that game. So this is kind of a look-ahead spot in a weird way. I mean, the bracketology stuff came out this week, and a lot of people have the Govs making the playoffs as an at-large bid. And a lot of people have already penciled in the Govs going 8-4. Obviously, the fourth loss being – that's assuming you went out, you know, other than Tarleton. So I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, guys. I mean, I counted EKU as a win. So I'm not going to do that here. I'm not going to be overly cocky and confident. This is a game that you could lose. And – you know, I hate to say that, but it is. I mean, this is a game that historically in the past we would have had our guard down, but I don't think that they're going to let that happen again. I mean, it happened against EKU. I think the guys know what's at stake here. I think they're going to be ready to play. With that being said, I guess I'll get into my prediction. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead and go first? Oh, yeah, that's right. Chris isn't here. So, Chris is not here, but he's here in spirit. And I actually didn't ask him what he predicted the score to be, but I know he predicts us to win. So we're going to say Chris predicts 24-21 Austin Peay victory, okay? Now what does Bryce predict? Bryce predicts 30-17 Austin Peay Govs. I think it's a slow game at first. I don't think there's a whole lot of scoring in the first half, but I think eventually Chris Parson will hit a couple big plays, kind of open things up. And I don't think they have the firepower to keep up with us. It's hard. You know, they're a running team. They have an elite running back, as I said. It's hard to lean on that, though, when you're trailing. So I think a couple big plays coming out of the half give us a nice little lead. It'll be hard for them to work their way out of it. Maybe a late turnover. That's my prediction. Sticking to it. Oh, for anybody who's curious, the Govs are favored by 4, which means, you know, you'd probably give – Southern Utah 4 points for home field advantage, being how far away it is and the elevation. So Austin Peay's probably like a touchdown favorite on a neutral field. But that's that. Now we're going to do what Chris usually does, and we're going to take you around the UAC What else is going on this weekend? What do we have to watch? So I have a thought on this, and I'd like you guys' opinion. So obviously, I'm just going to cheat, and we're going to go to, well, actually, it's the first game of the day, so there you go. Tarleton State and Abilene. This is a game that everybody that's an FCS football fan is going to have their attention on. Just because of, like, the tradition and stature of these teams, you know, Abilene winning the conference last year, Tarleton being a juggernaut this year. There's going to be a lot of eyes on this game. And, you know, you might think you would want Abilene to win because – and the argument for that would be, well, Abilene beat us, so that makes our loss look better. Oh, well, they beat us, but they also beat Tarleton, you know, so that's an impressive – but no, I don't think that's the route we want to go here, guys. I think what you want is you want a Tarleton win. Because let's just say this. Actually, I think you want a convincing Tarleton win. And the reason I say that is because, let's just call a spade a spade. Tarleton's going to be in the playoff. I mean, barring some epic collapse, they're going to be in the dumps. They're going to be in the playoffs. So they need to just go ahead and win out. And Abilene is the team that you're going to be fighting for the second spot, hypothetically, because you're not going to – I don't think there will be three UAC teams in the playoff. So if Abilene is the team that you're fighting against, you want them to get another loss, at least another loss. So – that would be good if Tarleton could go ahead and win that game. That would knock Abilene Christian to 4-5 overall, and it would be their second conference loss. And they still have to go to Eastern Kentucky, which is not an easy place to play. So if they lose that too, that would be their third conference loss, and we'd be looking like we'd be in pretty good shape. So that's my rationale there. I think you're going to root for Tarleton. North Alabama at Utah Tech. I mean, who cares? I mean, it doesn't really matter that much. We beat both of these teams, so either way it goes, it would be good for us. Obviously, I'd rather have Utah Tech win because North Alabama is North Alabama. EKU at Central Arkansas. I mean, if Eastern loses – then it really makes our loss look terrible. And that could hurt us. That could really hurt us with the committee. But the problem is well, EKU already does have three losses in the conference. So you want EKU to go ahead and win. The committee would be so mad. They would be disgusted by our loss if Eastern went on to lose to Central Arkansas. So go ahead, Eastern, go ahead and beat Central Arkansas for us. So that's the around the UAC. West Georgia's off finally. And then obviously our game is at 7:30. Austin Peay at Southern Utah from Eccles Coliseum in Cedar City, Utah. So, like I said, big game. You need to win it. You should win it. Everything's right in front of you. You have a lot to play for. You have everything to play for still. You win out, you're in pretty good shape. Well, if you win out, you're in amazing shape. You're definitely in the playoffs because that would mean you beat Tarleton. If you win all of your games but one, it's iffy, you know. You don't want to have to rely on other things to happen. You'd rather just get it done yourself. And we still have the capability to do that, and that starts this weekend. So like I said, my final prediction, Govs win. And, you know, postseason hopes, live another week. All right, guys, that'll be that. Chris should be back next week. If he's not, he's fired. And, yeah, excited to see you guys at the last two home games coming up. Enjoy them, guys. If you haven't been out there, you need to get out to the last two. It'll be fun. It's always – we've had great crowds all year. So let's end it with two great crowds, hopefully, fighting for a playoff berth. All right, guys, let's go pee.
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.